Good morning. Meeting's called to order. Before proceeding with any business, Mr. Cook, you have a statement to make.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A public notice of this meeting containing all items on the proposed agenda has been filed in the Office of Secretary of State as required by Chapter 551 Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act. I would like for this act to be noted in the official record of this meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Chairman Holt, please call the Finance Committee to order.
Okay, thank you. First order of business is the approval of previous committee meetings minutes, which have already been distributed. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second. 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 Thank you.
So hesitant.
Let me see. Motion. Who was I? Sorry, I can't. You're going so fast. Mr. Ramos.
Okay.
Or Mr. Brown. Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion carried. Okay, Chairman, committee item number one, land and water plan update. Mr. Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff at Texas Parks and Wildlife Department are, I'm happy to report to you, are very focused on implementing the recommendations from the state auditor's recent state parks audit. That is our agency's number one priority and will remain our number one priority through the summer and the early fall for sure. We had a lengthy conversation about this in our Monday morning meeting this week, to the effect that as we start our budget process, wherever we end up in the legislative session, when we start our budget preparation process on June 1, resolving the state auditor's recommendations will be our number one priority as we set our dollars and our FTEs in place. Scott will be bringing you some more details about this effort in his presentation to the Finance Committee. We are beginning our FY08 budget, operating budget process, as I mentioned, and hopefully we will soon have some idea about our appropriation levels, what that will be for the next fiscal year, and we will very carefully study those needs, allocate those resources as per legislative intent and as per the directions of the commission and your guidance. As in prior years, we will conduct a budget work session for the commission probably in mid-July. Generally, we shoot for somewhere around the 16th, 17th, 18th of July in order to meet all the deadlines that we have in submitting those documents, which ends up being a package of documents about the size of a telephone book. We will have to meet some deadlines, and that information has to be turned in probably in early August. So we will have our commission workshop, in mid-July, and certainly you are welcome to participate in that process every day as we go through the process. You may recall that we are upgrading our hunting and fishing license system with Verizon. And I'd like to give you an update on that. It's an important project. We are installing new license sales equipment with all of our license agents across the state. To this point, we've installed 88% of the equipment statewide, and we are processing sales transactions through that new system as opposed to the old technology. It is working well. To date, we've processed over 100,000 transactions and are positioning ourselves to be ready and prepared for the peak sales that start with a new license year beginning about August 15th. So we've got a good time period here of testing across the state, working with agents, and getting that equipment in place, and we believe we will be ready.
How many locations are you anticipate?
Mr. Bivens, I believe we're still slightly right around 2,000. I don't remember if we're just under or just over 2,000 different agents, locations across the state. You know, we look at that every year. We look at the distribution on the map. Sometimes we lose some in some critical areas that, you know, people just decide to get out of it.
Right.
And if that happens and if there's a big hole there, we try to get in there with our local folks, our local game warden, fisheries folks, wildlife folks, and find someone in that area who can supply that service. So we try to keep those holes filled. I believe we've got good coverage. We're not hearing much, you know, from folks about the availability. but it's a constant effort. Mary and her shop and the folks in licensing, like I said, we go through that review every year. We have a map that shows all of the locations, how many there are, in what towns.
Yep.
Glad to share it.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. Committee item number 2, financial overview, Ms. Mary Fields.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, I'm Mary Fields, Chief Financial Officer, and I'm here to provide the financial overview. The focus of our presentation will be to provide a revenue and budget status for fiscal year 2007 through the end of March. We basically added 1 month of activity since I reported to you in the April meeting, and so the numbers I'm going to be reporting are going to be pretty similar to what we reviewed last month. Go ahead and start with the state park receipts. When comparing state park gross receipts through March 31st at $17.12 million, we're at 9.5% or $1.5 million over last year's collections at the same time. If you look there at the categories on the chart, you can see that the facilities category and the concessions and basically activity fees have the largest categories of growth. And I want to mention just a couple of key drivers or highlights within those categories that I thought was pretty interesting. The concession category grew by almost $592,000, and over $320,000 of that came from the Texas State Railroad. So they are definitely doing well with their concessions and ridership there, and it's a big contributor to that category. In the facilities category, that category increased by over $595,000, and almost $188,000 of that came from Indian Lodge. And you'll recall that we had those rooms recently remodeled, and they're all open, so we're making some good headway there. As far as revenue trends, you know, we're at 9.5% now. We were a little bit higher towards the beginning of the year. If we continue this trend, I'd expect to see it somewhere between 5 and 10%, you know, ahead of last year at the end of the year, which will be above our revenue projection. So we're doing real well. The bus revenue as of March 31st is at $8.5 million. This is up 17.1% or $1.25 million compared to last year at the same time. Most of this increase, as you can see again on the chart there, is coming from our bus registration. And I think, you know, the rain this year has improved the lake levels. So last year we were impacted by drought conditions, as you all recall. And also, I just wanted to mention that registrations are renewed on a two-year cycle. And if you look at the trend over the last few years, the odd year is higher normally than the even year, by about 4 to 5% as far as the number of registrations. So both of those things, I think, are contributing to the increase that we're seeing. And again, with this revenue, you know, looking at it and trying to project where I think we might be by the end of the year, I'm projecting probably about a 5% increase in total over prior year.
Have you had price increases on anything, registration, filing?
Not between these 2 years. No, there hasn't been. And again, we continue to transfer the 15% of registration and titling revenue to Fund 64. That amounts to $1.1 million based on the revenues that were earned through March. On the license sales revenue, again, we're also up here as of the end of March at $74 million. We're up $2.3 million in revenues as compared to last year, or 3.3%. Again, all categories of revenue here are higher than the previous year. But I will highlight the fishing revenue because that is up the most, with an increase of over 6% from the prior year. Again, I think those lake levels were helping us out, you know, with the fishing. And I guess the other thing I'll mention is because there was, you know, 06 was a little bit lower, I do go back and look at 05. And our 07 revenues are tracking very closely to our 2005 revenues. We're within like 1% of where we were. So And that's been pretty constant throughout the year. So we closed fiscal year 2005 at $87.2 million, and I expect us to be right around in that area by the end of that season. In reviewing the number of licenses sold, at $2.24 million, we're up 2.9%. This, again, closely correlates with the revenue totals that we just talked about. I'm not going to go into a lot of the details here. You can see on the slide the percentages of increases there in the major categories for hunting, fishing, and combo sales. When comparing our 2007 revenue collections as of March 31st to the annual revenue estimates, we're continuing to do well, and that, again, that's no surprise since we've got growth in all of our major revenue sources. With 58% of the fiscal year elapsed, we've collected 68.3% of our Fund 9 Game Fish and Water Safety Fund, 78.8% of the State Park Fund, and the Local Park Fund is at 74.7%, and other categories at 90%. Our overall budget has increased by $2.8 million since February 28th, and that's taking our budget to $332 million. The budget adjustments that were made during the month of March are summarized on the slide. The most significant adjustments, again, relate to numerous state and federal grants that we brought into the budget in the amount of $1.7 million. In reviewing our fiscal year 2007 budget versus expense, we have 51.8% of the budget remaining with 58% of the year elapsed again. All of the categories are basically on track. We are showing 86.9% of capital expenditures available. And this line item includes all categories of capital, including construction, our vehicle purchases, land acquisition, those sorts of things. Of course, the largest category there in that expense line item is the construction. And we continue to work on the available balances in that category with several projects in progress. And that concludes my presentation. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Commissioners, John?
Going back to the budget adjustments, grants in federal and state, that's 1.658 million. What makes up the largest share of that category?
It actually, I didn't bring that detail with me, but I did review it in the numerous grants that come in, that we add to the budget. We have our policy of not adding grants to the budget until we actually have to sign the grant. I'd be happy to pull that detail for you and review it with you.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mary? All good news.
I'm going backwards.
Well, committee item number 3, legislative update. Mr. Cook.
Well, gentlemen, I wish I had an extensive and very informative report to provide to you, but as you know, we're still very, very much in the process. We have a number of bills that we are following as to their status, and of course the appropriations process pretty much dominating our attention at this time, but it is still very much in progress. We do not know where we will end up, and I think that's probably enough said about that one. We watched yesterday as we were going about our business, and I noted that the water bills did pass out of the House yesterday with 101 amendments. So I won't say much more than that about that, but at least it's good that it's still moving and still alive. HB 12, of course, another bill that is of great interest to us, is still in some form or fashion alive, but struggling. And if there's anything in particular any bill in particular you're interested in, that we still have the Kickapoo bill still alive.
we have been watching that one closely, but I think other than that, Mr. Chairman, I will withhold any discussion about the legislative process.
You don't want to.
I'm not going to speculate.
You're not going to want to speculate.
I hope that those folks have a good day, and they've. I'll tell you this: a certain partial life, they've been very courteous to us and have assisted us through the process. And I appreciate the staff, particularly Mr. McCarty and Harold Stone, and the work that they've done down there, and kept us informed, kept us involved, and answered many, 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 many questions. Been very responsive, and I think that's been appreciated.
When is the actual session? Is it midnight Tuesday? Tuesday or?
I believe
7:59 Monday night.
Yeah, Monday.
Oh, Monday.
Monday night.
Oh, okay.
Midnight. Okay. It's supposed to be the day.
Okay.
And we're all pulling for them.
Yeah. I'm assuming they're pulling to get out of there.
Yeah, okay. I know that they are.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a long time. Any questions or comments on legislative? Okay. Committee item number 3, implementation of recommendations by the state auditor's audit of state parks financial process. Mr. Scott Boyd.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, for the record, my name is Scott Boyd, Deputy Executive Director of Operations. My pleasure today to present to you your first briefing on our ongoing efforts to implement the recently released State Auditor's Office report. If I can get the machine to work, there we go. Just as a bit of background, as we moved towards the legislative session last year, as you are aware, we presented our legislative appropriation request, which included about $85 million in additional state park funding. The legislature, in considering that request, as we moved in towards the session, asked the state auditor's office to come take a look at our financial procedures in state parks. In particular, that audit began in December of last year. It ran through February of this year. There were, during that time, some 16 different auditors who came into the agency and looked primarily at state parks and their financial procedures, although the audit did go a little bit beyond that in terms of looking at some of the other divisions, infrastructure and AR, in terms of how they related to the state parks budgeting process and our financial processes. The objectives that were stated by the auditor were determined whether the budget projections for the upcoming biennium were reasonable and were supported by the information that we provided. Secondarily, to look at the deferred maintenance costs, which at that point were estimated at some $400 million in backlog of major repairs that were needed. The report was formally released on March the 19th and contained some 48 specific recommendations, which I'm not going to go over in detail here. The recommendations were broadly categorized into four major categories. The most important is the first one that you see on the screen, and this was the one that really closely tracked the internal audit recommendations that had been made by our own internal audit shop prior to the state auditor's efforts, and that was to address significant financial control weaknesses in the state park operations. The second was to improve the accuracy of park visitation reporting and to maximize state park revenue. Third big category was to improve the consistency of cost estimating processes, ensure proper prioritization of capital improvement repair needs. Those were the main four categories that these 48 recommendations were broken into. We will be glad to share with you more detail offline if you're interested in the specifics of the recommendations. I will tell you that back in February, prior to the release of the audit, during the middle of the audit, Mr. Cook pulled in the executive team and we began to look at how we were going to address the audit recommendations. In March, when the recommendations did come out in those four broad categories, we pulled together work groups that were cross-divisional that represented all the major divisions and began to develop plans on how we were going to address those recommendations. immediately after the release of the report in March, we put together a response to the state auditor and other leadership downtown that let them know that we took this very seriously and that we were going to address all the recommendations, and we began immediately to draft a detailed plan on how to get there. The next couple of slides that we wanted to show you were there were a set of recommendations that were targeted specifically to the commission. We thought you ought to see those. The first one there is that the SAO recommended that the agency also notify the governor's office and other oversight agencies at least 6 months before closing or transferring any state parks. The second recommendation for the commission was to seek input from oversight committees to maintain a state park system that has statewide merit and serves the agency's goals and missions. The third was to hold public hearings on proposed transfers, closures, or sales of parkland. Next slide, establish prioritization criteria for repairs and critical improvements. Next was to develop risk assessment methodology to rank those repair needs, in other words, be able to prioritize them. Should integrate prioritized project cost estimates into the capital budgets of individual parks. The next one is consider other financial options, such as using additional revenue generated from capital improvements to finance the cost of repairs. Parks and Law Commission should inventory employees' business and fiscal management skills to identify areas that need improvement. And the commission should provide adequate professional training to management staff to increase awareness of business concepts such as internal controls and equip the staff with adequate business management skills and knowledge. I will say before I conclude the process that many of these recommendations we believe we have a pretty good handle on and are moving forward. Some of the problems we believe that were reflected in the SAO report had to do with our documentation of the processes. And that's not to say we don't need some improvement because we acknowledge that we do, but we do believe that those recommendations that were targeted at the commission, many of those things are going on at a pretty significant level already. We do need to improve the documentation. We do intend to try to improve those areas that need improvement. Mr. Cook has asked me to lead this effort. We have also employed an outside consultant from outside with many years of state business expertise that reports directly to Mr. Cook, and will be helping us both internally look at the processes and make sure that what we're doing is on track and moving forward appropriately. And number two, will help us communicate with the leadership downtown about the seriousness and sincerity of our efforts to try to get this thing done as quickly as possible. And with that, I'd be glad to take questions.
Any questions for Scott? I want to thank Mr. Cook and Scott and others because they got on this right away. And it certainly was a big part of our credibility. We were down talking with various people in the Senate and the House. I think the attitude that we took towards it all. And to give Bob and Scott credit, they immediately jumped on this thing, started Monday morning meetings. And importantly, also Gene, got answers back and then started taking actions. And I think that has helped our credibility with the legislature. And that is going to pay off for us as we get to hope in the next few days. But most importantly is I think I just appreciate y'all taking the attitude you did towards y'all.
We appreciate y'all's support. You know, the bottom line here is going to be the resolution of these issues. And that is our goal.
Good.
Very single-minded in it, and we are frankly anxiously awaiting the outcome of the appropriations process, because as you will recall, in our LAR that we submitted back in August of last year, we had put a significant number of dollars and resources in our LAR request to address the primary of these very issues. So We are at a point in time now where we have identified the additional FTEs that we need, where we need them, where we can move them from the State Parks Division into Mary's shop. We are going to do that where we have qualified people that are capable and able to do that job. Otherwise, we're going to go outside and hire
new people to fill those, to fill those needs. That shift of responsibilities, I think, is consistent with the auditor report, and we will get there. You'll notice, I think, when we go up today, I'll point out to you a work chart on the wall of our conference room that any and every time, every single one of us get together, that work chart with dates and deadlines and personal people assigned to those jobs, those specific tasks, is on the wall, and it will be updated regularly and watched on a daily basis. We will report to you at each commission meeting. We'll have a brief report on our audit status at each commission. We appreciate your support in this. This has been a tough one, and it's been something that that we recognize we need to do, and we have worked hard to get here and keep our parts open and in good shape, and that's going to continue to be our goal.
Well, Peter, I want to thank you for your help on this. I think everybody's handled it just right. Peter appeared before the Senate. I appeared before the House on this matter. And you know, we're tackling it. There's a commitment, certainly, in staff to deal with it. The only question is if we'll have the resources to do the job. And it looks like we will. So thank you, Scott, for ramrodding this.
Any questions for Scott or on audit? Thanks, Scott. Any other business to be brought before this committee, Mr. Cook?
No, sir.
Okay. I will pass the gavel. We'll run past you next.
You always got to make room for regulations. I appreciate it.
Is it regulations next or
no, conservation? No, conservation. But you always have to save plenty of time for regs.
Yeah,
regs.
Dan likes the floor.